You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two of CBD. Nathan Skura, Matt Wilhelm with you here, getting you ready for the Browns and the Finns. We heard from Hugh Jackson earlier, it will be Andrew Hawkins elevated to the starting role. And then the guys that will step up, Hollywood Higgins has seen the most time at wide receiver so far of those young rookies, and Ricardo Lewis. Remember, it was Hollywood Higgins who was on the receiving end of Cody Kessler's lone touchdown back in the preseason.
Yes, so after spending some time with Ricardo Lewis, the one thing that I know Ricardo Lewis knows about himself is he's fast.
He is.
Because he talked about it, and again, I love it, and I'm not trying to say he has a big head by any means, because he's yet to really accomplish a whole lot at the NFL level, except arriving in the NFL and making this football team, but he talked about his speed like four different times, and I'm just like, go, bro. I just want to see it now.
Let's see it. Let's see it get out there. Let's see him get vertical. We need to see that. We talked earlier today about where the advantage lies for the Browns offense, and that certainly is in the middle of that defense, attacking Kiko Alonso in coverage and also attacking their slot corners, the nickel corners, Bobby McCain and Tony Lippett. You got to get after those guys. Michael Thomas as well. He's a safety who's played in the slot some. You got to attack those guys. They've given up 9 catches on 9 targets, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Alonso, 7 on 8 for almost 90 yards and a touchdown as well. They need to do that. Also, you can run on them. Our guy John Costco from Pro Football Focus, who appears with us every week, said Miami Rundy is allowing 1.62 yards per carry before contact. So they're getting pushed back up front. Now, from talking to Ken LaVica yesterday, who covers them for ESPN West Palm, sounds like they're having problems on the edge, so when you run to the edge, you have an opportunity. The Browns thus far have been much more of a north-south running team, but they're going to have to stretch and attack the perimeter.
But I think even, you know, going back and watching the Baltimore Ravens game, and for me, it was at first listening to it in the car, hearing Jim Donovan say, you know, Joe Thomas pulling, and I was like, what?
Yeah, there was a lot
of
pulling.
So there was a lot of you know, tackle down, guard around is an opportunity. You know, there's a lot of some X blocking on the edge that allow you to capture that outside shoulder and allow a guy like Duke Johnson or Isaiah Crowell, with the head of steam that they run with and the elusiveness that Duke Johnson runs with, to stretch and get to the edge. Then you force, you know, Koemisi to make tackles in space. You know, you force Jenkins to make tackles in space, or you get, you know, the Crow in maybe an 11 situation where he's the running back, and say you're running out of a passing type of formation, which a lot of teams do, but you've got to be successful on first and second down and really have, you know, the defense eaten out of your hand to be allow him to then run towards the nickel. But it all really starts up front. There's many things that you can do, but you've got to get color on a color and then get your back in space on, as I mentioned, Koemisi or one of those nickel corners that you said is struggling in coverage, but yet not really going to be all that great at tackling in space either.
So you got to find a way to get them there. And Duke Johnson, a guy, probably the Browns' best space player, I'd expect to see him lined up at times outside as a wide receiver. Now, for the Browns, you're going to need a lot of Hawk. You're going to need a lot of Duke and a lot of Crow. That's what you're going to need offensively. And big play Garrett's got to come back into the mix. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, we've got to move him around to kind of understand early on in the football game how the Dolphins are going to approach playing defense against the Cleveland Browns. Because I think you're going to study the Patriots tape. You're going to study, who do they play week one?
Miami. They played Seattle.
Seattle, that's right. You're going to study what they do. But the one thing I think that Miami's going to do is they're going to simplify things and get really good and play basic stuff against Cody Kessler and maybe mix and match some disguises or zone blitzes, as I mentioned earlier in the first segment, to kind of steal a play here or there. So by moving around and maybe motioning Hawk from one side to the other, and then that's the tell on whether they're going to be in zone or they're going to be in man. And then therein lies the process of elimination. They can play two-man, they can play man-free, or they can be in zero coverage, you know, and cover everybody up, and then you really know some type of pressure's coming. And if they're in zone, what are their zones that they play in these certain down and distances at this point on the field? Is it cover two? Then you got Gary running your two-beater. You're nodding up, that we saw so many times last year,
to get
to the middle of the field, you know, or the seam route. You know, you check four verticals, and you got Cody Kessler basically picking his poison and finding the guy that's leaning a little too far off his hash, and you get that, you know, Gary or our slot receiver bending in behind those linebackers and deliver a timely throw into that window.
We just need to beat. Yeah, we need to beat those zones when we see them. I'd like a nice little vertical throw down the seam. Would be good to see. You could even put Terrell Pryor in the seam and have him run and do that big target.
Or Ricardo Lewis.
Or Ricardo Lewis
to chew up a safety and run at a safety, and maybe you allow Terrell Pryor with his size and speed up the sideline, stressing that corner who's having to sink and run with him, and you got Ricardo Lewis running up the middle of the field, running at that safety. You know, stutter, and be honest with you, at the NFL level, it's a stutter of the feet is the difference between a reception and a pass breakup, or a reception and an interception. So if you can get a Ricardo Lewis or maybe Terrell Pryor on the edge and you take your shot down the field to Ricardo Lewis, the burner, to occupy that safety, if it is, in fact, cover two, that those are the ideal situations and things that Hugh Jackson's studying on tape to allow Cody Kessler. It's not, survey the field and go 1, 2, 3, 4. No, it's this guy or that guy based on what this one person does. And to be honest with you, that's high school quarterback 101. And I hate to say that, but when our quarterback preps for a football game, it's when you see this, this is what they're going to do. You throw it here or you throw it here. And I hate to say it, I'm not trying to, Cody Kessler is so much better than a high school quarterback, but that's the teaching process.
You're trying to keep it simple for him.
Correct. You're trying to keep it simple, and essentially the coach knows where he wants the football to go. Can you convey that to Cody Kessler on 6 days of preparation so that he makes those decisions very quickly on Sunday?
And that's, you want to simplify, give him a couple reads, give him some levels concepts.
Correct.
Where he can read high to low and come down and deliver the football. He's got to get it out quick. We told you yesterday, Kessler in college in 2015, when he got the ball out under 2.5 seconds, was the top-rated passer in all of college football. And in the preseason this year, he was the top-rated passer on the Browns when he got the ball out in less than 2.5 seconds. That is important. That's going to be a big number to watch, especially when you're getting chased by Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh and Jason Jones and Mario Williams. They have got the guys up front that can get to the quarterback. When you think about this matchup as well, special teams-wise, it's kind of the elephant in the room. We haven't talked about it a lot. I know there are young guys, but, you know, Joe Schobert, special team standout. Ricardo Lewis said he'd played special teams all college, and he's been a very good special teams player. Yet big plays and momentum-swinging plays continue to happen in the special teams unit. It happened in Game 3 of the preseason. It happened in Game 1, and now it's happened in Game 2 as well. How does that get cleaned up? Because this is a team right now that is down two quarterbacks. It's down its number one receiver. It's down its center on offense. And you need help from special teams. You need to pick up yards with field position. You're getting nothing out of your punt return game right now, like literally zero, nothing. And you're giving up big returns and compromising the defense with that block and the return. That was a three-point swing. How do you get that cleaned up? Because it's got to be, the margin for error for this team is razor thin. It gets thinner with every injury that happens. But how do you clean that up? Because to me, that is massively important.
My approach and my quick answer to that question is very similar to what our approach to Cody Kessler this week. Less is more. And I don't necessarily know how thick or how much we're carrying from a special teams game plan into these football games each and every week. You know, but the core six of the players on punt return are the same ones on kickoff, are the same guys on kickoff return, right? So their understanding is that they're going to play predominantly on special teams and maybe in a limited role in offense or defense. And there's a paradigm shift that has to happen in their heads mentally to go, I'm one play away on defense or offense, but yet I am a starter on special teams. And sometimes it takes a young player, because of the success that they've had in college, to realize that. They've now made the team, and they've got to get, you know, the exotic blitzes of a Ray Horton or this now limited, you know, playbook that we're going to run with Cody Kessler. Things change from week to week, and sometimes they're hard to grasp. But the one thing that I think Chris Tabor needs to do is go back to basics and let your players make plays. Let's not try to out-scheme someone. This is what we do well. Let's do it well against this team and have them react to what we do.
Yes, and try to dictate a little bit. That is going to be very important for this Browns team. The question will be, can they do it? By the way, Charlie Whitehurst speaking with the media. Hopefully we can get that sound, Fontana, and get that up here. But basically, he one of the things that he noted was he's never met a single person in this locker room before. That's got to be very interesting. And to talk about the special teams, as you were talking about dictating to, et cetera, how different is it when you're a team that goes in, when you end into week one, all seven of the guys that were inactive were either brand new signees or were healthy and healthy inactives. Now all of a sudden, it's all hands on deck because you can count Josh McCown, Corey Coleman, Cam Irving, perhaps Ibrahim Campbell if he's unable to go,
right.
Carl Nassib.
They will be your inactives.
Your inactives are all guys that you are counting on to play who are now hurt. So you're going to have even more turnover on special teams because now everybody's got to be up and playing a role.
Right, and that's where I believe that the guys that are inactive in football games that were Cleveland Browns, meaning they were here throughout the offseason, and those who were here throughout training camp are the ones that will see the field first.
Okay.
Because they have the best understanding of our scheme. They understand what Coach Tabor asks of them on special teams, if that's going to be their role. They understand the verbiage that Hal Hunter uses along the offensive line, if that's going to be their role to be one play away at either guard positions, per se. So that's what I would say. Those guys that were here, you know, that weren't signed, you know, off of waivers from another team will probably see the field first. And or those guys that did get signed off of waivers will be in a limited role, and conversations will be had prior to this football game about how much do you understand? Do you get this defense? Do you get this concept? And then if they say yes, they get an opportunity in practice to show that they understand it. And then when they do, and that time arises in the football game, you feel comfortable putting them out there, even though you'd prefer to have Nassib or Irving or all these other guys that you expect to be out there as starters. You need serviceable at this point right now.
And you think offensively and defensively, at least where the injuries are on the defensive side, they love Kindred, so he should be able to slide in for Campbell. They're very impressed with Tyrone Holmes. He should be able to play some for Carl Nassib. You've got Nate Orchard, who's been playing very, very well, that's kind of playing in that same role as well. So fortunately, the guys are there. Special teams will be the issue, and I wonder if we won't see some guys sometimes on the punts, if they either try to put them in the corner, put it out of bounds, or just hit those high knucklers where you hit it only 40 yards, 45 yards, but
it's a 45-yard net.
You're forcing a fair catch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. But even still, I mean, Dominique Alexander and Tank Carter and those guys are the guys that we're going to have to rely on, and the Derek Kindreds of the world. And now how much special teams is Kindred? This is the thing.
Yeah, how much do you keep him on?
Kindred, if he's a four-teamer, meaning kickoff, kickoff return, punt return, he might go down to two, and he'll probably be just on the return teams, knowing that he'll get a break after, you know, we receive the football and punt return or kickoff return. And then also even furthermore, Kindred is one, and then who's the other? I mean, Orchard may come off some stuff because he's playing more. Ricardo Lewis may be a guy that if he's running routes and he becomes a deep ball threat to occupy safeties and to run a corner off, may get a break on special teams. And we saw that happen last year with Marlon Moore when he had to play wide receiver. Special teams took a knock.
Yes, it did. And you got to hope that for this team to win, I believe they have to steal something on special teams, whether it's points, a possession, field position consistently. They're going to have to get that advantage there because it is going to be tough with Cody Kessler. That's just the fact of the matter. It is going to be tough with him at quarterback, just like it'd be tough for any team in the National Football League starting their third string quarterback. In fact, we'll get a look at it tonight with a great New England Patriots team.
Yes.
Maybe they'll come out and
I'm going to call my shot right now. There's going to be a turnover on special teams by the Cleveland Browns. Bold prediction.
A positive one or a negative one?
Positive. For us. In our favor.
In our favor.
Yes.
Bold
prediction.
Okay. I like it, Matt Wilhelm. Let's do it. Make it happen. Put it out into the world. Can you also, if you do get this to happen, can you start putting out, like, nobody on our team get injured anymore type stuff? Can you put that out in the mix for us?
That is, I guess, very, very bold.
That would be very bold. I mean, right now, it would be incredibly bold. When we come back here on CBD, we will go ahead and take a look at the matchup on the other side, the Browns' defense against the offense of the Miami Dolphins. We'll take your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850. Still to come, we will answer your fantasy football questions, as I see many of those flooding my timeline. Again, use the hashtag AskTFC, and we'll get to those questions here on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Gura, Matt Wilhelm here. We go back to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. We got Braden in Elyria. Braden, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
First time. Doing well. Thanks for asking. First time caller here.
Thanks, man.
Been a Browns fan. Been a Browns fan for a pretty long time out here in Colorado with the AFC playoff rivalry between the Broncos and the Browns back in the day. Intrigued me to be a Browns fan. Some of my thoughts on Derek Kindred is as a fourth round pick, I was automatically attracted to him. I didn't really know who he was at first, but I liked his measurables and all that stuff, and I've really been impressed by the way he's played. And with Corey Coleman out as well, I was wondering which one of the rookies do you think is going to step up, and you guys think Hawk can step up and be in the number two role?
Hawk was the leading receiver basically in that role for the Browns 2 years ago when he had over 800 yards receiving. So
I remember that.
He has done it in the past. I don't think he's, you know, durability is going to be an issue for him if he's out there every single snap taking those hits. We know that he had some concussion issues last season. So that's something that I certainly do worry about with him. But Hollywood Higgins for me is the guy that's going to have to step up. And then Ricardo Lewis is going to come in and have to bring some of that field stretching element. Corey Coleman could stretch the field, and we saw that. Ricardo Lewis is going to have to do that. I think between Lewis and Higgins, you have two guys who can do two different things.
Correct.
Higgins a better route runner, better hands, better catcher, but he doesn't have the speed of Ricardo Lewis to scare defense. So I think it's going to be all hands on deck. You're going to need everybody to play to their strengths and get the job done.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think even furthermore, it almost seems as if our approach to Andrew Hawkins in the game plans this week has been like a specialty route runner. He doesn't run the full gamut of routes anymore. So he's using like specialty roles, like on the third down play where he comes across in motion and runs the quick to the flat, you know, in the curl, the sprint right option. I think he's regressed as a player, and a lot of it has to do with the opportunities, but he falls to the back of my priority list, I would say, as a target, where if we really are in a full on developmental role, and I know we want to win football games, but it's like, I want to see Lewis. I want to see Peyton. I want to see Hollywood Higgins. What can they do? Give them more. And when you give them more and they poop down their leg, then give them less. You know, but if they come out and they rise above and Higgins is winning, you know, in situations where he's an elite route runner and makes the tough catch, and Ricardo Lewis gets behind a defense and maybe just gets a pass interference call that flips the field. If you didn't have that deep threat, you wouldn't have got that call. At least take those opportunities down the field.
You've got to take some shots down the field, and that's what Lewis can do. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of Hollywood Higgins in the red zone, and the Browns get down into scoring situations where he does have that good rapport, very good on the back shoulder throw, which is where he got his touchdown from Cody Kessler in the preseason. Al's on his cell phone. Al, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it.
I just had a couple of comments and feedback on the podcast because Matt Wilhelm said I should. But I say, I don't believe there's a curse. And I love the direction. I'm just very positive. I think that CBD without Flo Rida opening up is not CBD. But I wanted to...
Flo Rida, bring him back. We got to just get a new... Which Flo Rida song would you want? I feel like I'm fine with Flo Rida. I'm a fan.
I like the one you always had. I mean, there's radio shows that have had the same opening thing for years. So, you know,
we were trying to change up the mojo, though. That's all we were trying to...
Right.
It was a new year, new order. But we'll come up with something yet. We're not done yet.
All right, okay. I like the energy of the other one. The comment that I had, you had a caller call in last week, might have been, that said he never saw players walk by a coach and not look at him.
Yes.
And I'm in management. I have eight GMs that I manage in different locations. But when they know they've made a mistake, they don't like to talk to me and they don't want to see me. And it's for whatever reason, people like working for me. And I think it's the same for Coach Jackson. People love him and don't want to look at him because they know they screwed up. And that's kind of how I felt about that comment.
Yeah, that certainly is part of it. I think that could be part of it. It's kind of human nature. It's like, I know I messed up. I don't want to hear about it, et cetera, et cetera. I get that part of it as well. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Peter in Parma now. Peter.
Hi. I'd like to speak a little bit about the analytics and what's been happening over the past few days. Number one, what really happened is Hugh Jackson evaluated, he and Pep Hamilton, evaluated quarterbacks. They looked at Goff. They looked at Wentz. And basically they said Wentz wasn't good enough. That's what they said. So the onus is really on Hugh Jackson. It's not on the analytics guys. It's on Hugh Jackson. That being said, let's go on for a moment. We clearly made a mistake. In hindsight, everybody, most rational people would have rather had Carson Wentz today. No question. But you have to go back to before the draft. And what the Browns correctly perceived is the following. Taking a quarterback or taking anybody early is oftentimes a crapshoot, and it's luck. 26 teams passed on Tom Brady for 5 rounds. 26 teams passed on Joe Montana for 5 rounds. So the point of the story is the Browns decided, look, if Hugh isn't all in on this guy, we're not going to take him. We're going to do the smart thing, and we're going to load up on draft picks. I think in hindsight, you can always criticize, and they wish they would have got Carson Wentz. On the other hand, if they would have drafted Jared Goff, everybody today would be thrilled. They'd be furious because he's not playing. So I think the analytics guys have it right. I think if people stay the course, I think in 3 years with Hugh Jackson and the analytics guys, I think the Browns will be back in the playoffs and a contender.
Certainly hope that you are right there. And when you look at, again, the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz wouldn't have been playing if Teddy Bridgewater didn't get hurt. Now, maybe he would have at some point. He would have taken over for Sam Bradford, but at least initially the plan was for him to be same as Jared Goff. So I think, again, before any evaluations are made about either one of those guys, it's going to take a little bit of time to see which one is ultimately the better quarterback. I think that when you look at RG3 and Andrew Luck coming out of that first year, you would have maybe said that RG3 was as good as Andrew Luck or maybe even a little bit better than Andrew Luck. And now a few years later, that seems almost to be a silly discussion. We'll see. I think what the point that he was making is the Browns had their process and their opinion that wasn't right to take the quarterback, in particular Carson Wentz, at that spot. They liked Goff. They didn't take him. They took a swing at the play with RG3. Unfortunately, that swing has immediately been sent back to the dugout and that bat put away. And it's tough. I think that it's tough. And a lot of people feel like it sets you back. Now, coming out of that game, the good positive was, hey, we traded back, and we still got the top receiver on our board. Look, this guy looks like a superstar, and he still does. It's a hand injury. It's a freak thing, but he's going to miss time now. So it is tough right now. Things are not good, but I do appreciate at least the optimism as well, looking at it from the bright side. But the truth of the matter is this organization will not be where it needs to be until it has that quarterback. Now, maybe, and don't anybody call me and say that I'm saying it's going to happen, maybe Cody Kessler comes out and shocks the world. I don't know, but to me, that person is most likely coming at the top of the 2017 NFL draft, and the Browns are likely going to have an early pick and the opportunity to go ahead and move up if they need to.
Sure, and here's the thing, along with what the caller just said, say the Cleveland Browns have the first pick next year. However they end up with it, they trade up from 3 to 1 with their assets with the Eagles to get a team out of one. Say they are have the number one pick. Is there an absolute 1 billion percent chance that the guy turns into a superstar being the number one overall pick?
Is it a lock?
It a lock?
No, nothing's a lock.
Nothing's a lock. Okay? No. So that becomes our swing at the plate for the next 5 to 7 years, and it cannot work out. That's just how it is. Okay?
Let's just hope that does not.
Whatever. I don't have control in it. Okay? I'm going to be here talking about it, hopefully.
Yes, for a long time.
For a long time, okay? But my whole point is nothing is certain. And I think the challenges in front of Carson Wentz that are going to be obstacles for him to truly overcome are not the Cleveland Browns and Chicago Bears.
Correct.
I want to see him against Dallas twice a year and Washington twice a year and the Giants twice a year. Then we're getting somewhere if he's doing those same things.
It is a long road, and this season with all the injuries have gotten a little bit longer for the Browns, but as Hugh Jack says, they are not blinking. They're going ahead, and the good news is there's a game on the schedule, and it must be played, and they will play it this Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. When we come back, 216-578-0850, we'll take some more of your calls. If we have time, we will look at the Browns defense against the Miami Dolphins offense, introduce you to that offense. And, of course, we still have Ask TFC to come, so get your fantasy football questions into us on Twitter using the hashtag AskTFC. Don't forget tonight, whether you're home or whether you're in your car or whether you're just wherever, Two things for you at 7 o'clock. Both start at 7 on TV, News Channel 5, The Hugh Jackson Show. Myself and Coach Jackson, we sit down. We go to the All-22 tape, break down Isaiah Crowell's 85-yard touchdown run as well. We will hear Dustin Fox sits down with Duke Johnson, and our own Matt Wilhelm goes on the field to talk with Joe Hayden about his two interceptions against the Baltimore Ravens, and we talk Cody Kessler. All the latest, that's tonight at 7, and also at 7 on the radio, on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Myself, Ken Carmen, host the Hugh Jackson Coach's Show on the radio. So we've got all that coming your way tonight on News Channel 5 for TV, the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, on the radio, the Hugh Jackson Show.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back to CBD. Nathan Skirt, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Mateo, it is certainly going to be an interesting week. What's that music about, Fontana?
Fantasy. I was told we had to start putting beds underneath it.
All right, you're doing it. Let's get into some fantasy football questions then. Hold on, let Matt Wilhelm just chill for a second. But Matt, sure. I want you to weigh in as well. One of these really strikes you, we can give both of our opinions and we can talk about it. I also want to make sure that everybody knows this is the FanDuel Fantasy Minute. FanDuel have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. By the way, my contest is live right now. Fontana, do you play at FanDuel?
No, I do not.
Fontana, go sign up right now at FanDuel.com/TheGurra. You can get into my contest week 3. I'm going to have a contest every week this season. It's only $5 to enter, guaranteed first prize winner of $100. So you can 20 times your money right there.
How many people are you normally in it?
There are 110 people in it. But as long as you're kind of like, as long as you do fairly well, you'll double your money. Like I've taken $5 into $10 both weeks. So that's because I'm good. But I'm not great yet because I don't have the number one. That's what you need. That's what you need, number one. So are you going to do that, Fontana?
Yes.
Can we count on you?
Yes, absolutely.
I can look into this. We'll find out if Fontana's a man of his word. Okay. All right, Fontana. Time for the FanDuel Fantasy Minute. Give it to us.
So you can do a couple things. One, you can tweet at the show at Browns_daily or at Nathan Zagura. You got to use the hashtag AskTFC, or you can just give us a call, 216-578-0850. Kevin has a question. I'm not going to read his name. PPR flex, Martellus Bennett, Latavius Murray, or Isaiah Crowell?
I'm going to stick with the Crow here. I think you're going to need him to be involved. The matchup is tougher than perhaps people want it to be, and I think that that's fair, but I do think you got to go with the Crow here. Caw-caw! Let him fly. Latavius Murray's been a little bit of a disappointment, I think, early on this season. So Isaiah Crowell gets the nod there. Martellus Bennett, I like, but at the same time, a little bit concerned about his workload thus far.
This one's from Tim. He says, a flex PPR league, Allen Hurns or Golden Tate?
Right now, Golden Tate's giving you nothing, so I'm going to let him prove himself into my lineup. I'll go with Allen Hurns, although I don't particularly love either one of those guys. That Jags offense right now is putting up a lot of numbers, but it's been very strange.
This one's from Rob, his team name. Yeah, we got that one. We're going to do running back here. This is a non-PPR league, Fozzie Whitaker or Ryan Matthews?
Ryan Matthews all the way. Wilhelm says it with disdain there. The talk is that it's going to be a lot of Cameron Artis Payne, who, by the way, happened to go to Hancock JCC back in the day out there in California, where our good friend Vince Conti, friend of the show, resides.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This one is from Andrew. A defensive question, Miami or Houston?
Both are great. I'm going to plead the fifth there, which should give the answer to the listener.
Okay. James the Ringer wants to know for his team name. Again, use that hashtag, AskTFC. Half-point PPR, he needs to start. He's asking you to set his whole lineup, but we'll do it for him.
All right, let's do it.
He needs two out of this list. You ready? Hyde, Tevin Coleman, Duke Johnson, Jerick McKinnon, or who's the running back for Seattle? Not Christine Michael.
Thomas Rawls?
No, I mean, what's Christine Michael's real first name? I always
Christian.
Christian. Christian Michael.
I like Christian Michael. You said Jerick McKinnon, Carlos Hyde, Tevin Coleman,
and the Duke.
And the Duke. I'll go with Christian Michael, provided that Rawls is out, which it looks like Rawls is at least going to be limited. And then after that, it's tough. Did you say if it was PPR or not?
Half point PPR.
Half point. I'll go with Jerick McKinnon. I'll give him a shot against Carolina.
Again, you can use that hashtag AskTFC. Kelvin Benjamin or Jeremy Maclin PPR. This is from Iron. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let's finish James. He had
both
one more.
Both of them. How do you not start both of those guys?
That's what I'm saying. Kelvin Benjamin's a must play, right?
Yes.
And then his other one is real quick, Eli or Derek Carr.
I'm going to go with Elijah. I'm a big fan of Eli Manning this year.
We'll finish James the ringer,
I got
too.
Elijah. You got Elijah?
I would have said Elijah.
There you go. All right, so you're doing it, and you're doing it well.
We're going to finish James the ringer, too, because we're setting his entire lineup. Okay. He needs one, Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, Jordan Matthews, or Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard, Randall Cobb. I'm playing Sterling Shepard over Randall Cobb in one of my leagues, so there. And who's the last one?
Fuller or Jay Matthews.
Jordan Fuller's been a stat villain.
He's been a stud, but he's not 100% healthy. It's a short week, so I like Jordan Matthews has been pretty solid as well.
Yes.
I would go with the Matthews as well.
Bob, standard league flex spot, Sterling Shepard, Marvin Jones, Michael Thomas. He also says he has Tavon Austin.
Sterling Shepard. Yep, slow him down there, Fontana.
Sterling Shepard.
Yep.
Marvin Jones.
Yep.
Michael Thomas.
Nope.
And then he also has Tavon Austin, he says.
No, the first two.
First two?
Yep.
This one is from Brian. Oh, actually, sorry. That one's a little dated. This one from Rob. He says, should I start Rob Gronkowski tonight?
If Rob Gronkowski plays, you start Rob Gronkowski. And it sounds like he is going to play. Did you get the one from the Bobby Boucher's high-quality H2O league?
Did he use the hashtag?
Yeah, Lauren. Yeah, she did. It says Lauren, right? SCFC says Ben Roethlisberger or Philip Rivers. Phil Rivers has been a stud. All right, Wilhelm, you're getting excited.
Rivers, who do they play?
You're getting excited over there. Hold on, I'll tell you in just one second.
I know it's Eagles, Eagles Steelers.
Yep, and then Rivers, Indiana.
Rivers.
Okay, I'm going to go with Ben.
Eagles defense has been playing fairly well.
It has been playing well, but it's also the offense's Browns, Bears thus far. A little somewhat shaky,
but Rivers is hot, and I think the Colts defense is fluky.
Do you worry about no Keenan Allen?
No.
No Antonio Gates?
No. He's played his entire career with guys at wide receiver.
No Danny Woodhead?
No.
Okay. All right.
This one's from Kevin, guys.
I like Melvin Gordon on the ground, though.
I do.
Well, they just signed Dexter McCluster.
I picked him up in one of my leagues.
Did you?
Good. He knows that offense, Dexter. I drafted Melvin Gordon in one of my leagues, but I picked up Dexter McCluster. He knows the Wiz and Hunt offense. He's been in it. He has had success in it in Tennessee, and he basically is, you know, he's going to come in and try to play that Woodhead role. I think he'd catch four or five balls a game, be a nice little flex option for you in a PPR league. If you're desperate at the running back position, give him a look.
This one's from Kevin. He wants to know defensively, Packers versus Detroit or the Broncos. I'm not sure who they're playing.
Denver,
for sure.
Yeah.
This one's from Lauren. Oh, you got that one. It just came through. Now I got it.
Yeah.
I got Lauren's. Yeah. Another question. This one is from Dave. Dave wants to know running back position, PPR league, Matt Jones or TJ Yeldon or Spencer Ware?
Spencer Ware. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Hyde. This one just came in from AJ. He wants to know Carlos Hyde or Jay Ajayi.
It sounds like they are not high on Jay Ajayi based on the Carlos comments. Hyde. So I'm going to go Carlos Hyde. Matt Wilhelm, disgusted by the question.
This one's from Jamie. Jamie, I'm not reading your team name, but I will answer your question. Jordan Matthews or Frank Gore in a standard flex spot?
I really like Frank Gore this week, and maybe I'm a little bit crazy, but I really do like Frank Gore this week against San Diego, so I'm going to say Franklin Gore.
And that looks like all I got for now, guys.
And that will do it as well. Bob in Millersburg said, based on the recommendation of Zagur, I'm swapping out Jack Doyle for Gronk. You better be right. Well, Bob, I hope that I am right, but if Jack Doyle's time is coming, it's gone. It's Gronk time. By the way, Wilhelm, thanks for the recommendation on what is this called?
Crash Leets.
My kids love it.
Do they?
Well, my kids are it's perfect because they're so into like fail videos. All that you want to do is watch fail videos, and that's like
it's like a safer, fun a safer, version of yeah. them watching people do stupid stuff.
I will say that Gronk and the two hosts, like their interactions are horrific, and they're
which makes it great.
It is. It's like it's one of those shows that would be on like Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever if they were making fun of it, like watching it and like
yes.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's so bad that it's good, but it does have some very, very good videos. So if you have kids out there, I'd say in our age, like the 6 to 10 range.
Oh yeah.
Maybe even older might like it.
Yeah.
It's good. Crash Leets on Nickelodeon with Gronk, and now he's back to play tight end for Bob Millersburg. All right. When we come back, final thoughts here. On this Thursday, we'll have to get into the Browns offense against the Browns defense against the Dolphins offense. We'll get into that tomorrow here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, wrapping it up here on this Thursday. Tomorrow, the final day of the week here. Hopefully, maybe the kid will make an appearance in studio. Who knows?
All I know is I got final preparation for a big game.
Huge game tomorrow night.
Avon 4-0, number one in the region.
You're furiously scribbling notes.
We are number four in the region. It'd be a... what do they call it? Like Michigan State beating Ohio State last year, it was like a program victory. That's this kind of win for Westlake High. It'd be a program victory.
So like what is and who are you playing against?
Avon.
And what's their mascot?
The Eagles.
So like are you running around like it's Eagle Week. Eagle Week.
I'm not. Because it doesn't mean it I'm not the whole I don't even know who like technically who our rivalry is. I go my approach to these is like week one, which is 5 weeks
Eagle
ago,
week.
5 weeks ago, it's like that seems like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you like you turn the page and you just engulf yourself with everything that they do and then our plan. And I'm so used to it because that's you do that 16 times in the NFL. Well, actually, maybe 12 because you play the same team twice. But you got to turn the page, forget everything that you just taught the guys. Me, I'm so big on, you know, scouring the film to create my game plan, and I got my guys to buy in because we're playing really, really well on special teams. I got my linebackers.
Yeah, you're pulling off
I got two
like
guys that
time.
Have been double digits in every single football game. So it's just if you spend the time watching the film, and that's where sometimes, you know, going back to, you know, talk about Johnny M. I won't even say his last name, about not watching the tape and not understanding. If you watch it, you naturally, organically learn the game. And then if you start to understand and watch the right things, you start to find the tells. You know, those are the tells that I was saying that Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson, with their experience in the league, will find. Can they convey those tells to Cody Kessler in time so that when it happens in the game, it triggers him to go, I'm reading this safety, and I'm either throwing it to Pryor on this route or Hawk on this route. And if I'm getting pressure, I got Duke over to my left running a swing route.
Yep.
Though it's the little things like that you need to pick up on that need to happen. Go boom, boom, boom. You know, and I know that people who you know are armchair quarterbacks think it's oh so easy with Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh ready to put you in a hospital to do it so fast.
And it is not.
But it is not.
It is not that easy. People like somebody who thinks he could play for a series in the fourth quarter of the right. fourth preseason game. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Correct.
I don't think it's easy. I think I'd probably end up in the hospital, but I think it'd be a hell of a lot of fun. It'd be kind of be like, you know, when CM Punk just went out there and wrestled in the UFC and got his butt kicked in his press conference afterwards. Was like, this is the most fun I've had in my life. Like, it'd probably be like that for me. I'd probably come right. out, my ear would look not right. My
like I'm going to pee blood for the next month, but that was awesome.
Totally ruled, man. Totally. Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, our big rivalry was O'Dowd, or at least that's what our coaches tried to make it. And every week it was like O'Dowd week. They'd be like, O'Dowd week, man. O'Dowd week. Like, and if you said something, it'd be like, O'Dowd.
Like, yeah, right. We're not that team.
Yeah.
We're not.
I've already told you this story, though. We had two coaches, Coach Grizz and then Coach Billingsley. And Coach Grizz would yell, and like throw something. There was one particular time where Coach Grizz like had his clipboard or his like whiteboard, the, you know, dry erase for the basketball plays, and like was like it's all down week, it's all down week, and like throws the clipboard. And Coach B runs over and picks it up and then throws it. It's like, and I'm mad too. Yeah. Oh, down week. You know,
and like, you're like, yeah. So not motivated now.
Yeah, like, you're like, we just made fun of him. That's all we do. He just, we're like, okay. All right. Now
I'll play for you, never for you.
Now you've got our attention, yeah, Coach right. B. Yeah. He had a sweet mustache, though. He did. Hey. To be fair, ahead of his time, really.
That rules.
He had like an ironic mustache before it was like cool to have ironic mustaches.
A man ahead of his time.
That's what I'm saying. He was ahead of his time. Goes, I'm mad too. Oh, down week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah. All right. So I'm told, by the way, that perhaps next Tuesday in studio, we will have The Miz.
Really? What's he in town for?
SmackDown is in Cleveland next Tuesday.
Nice.
So he will be here. The Intercontinental Championship World Tour continues.
If he gets me some great seats, I may make my way downtown.
Oh, you might even go to wrestling.
Who never knows?
You're saying it's possible.
Maybe bring my son. He'll probably love it.
Okay. All right.
And then he'll fall in love with wrestling, and I'll be watching wrestling in my house. So, no, I'm not.
And you'll be loving it. It'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. All right. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Hopefully when we return tomorrow, no new players have been hurt for the Cleveland Browns. That's what we're going to hope for tonight. For Matt Fontana, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.